Welcome to Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead here again to have another conversation with you about some of the stories that matter. And folks, nothing matters more than the fact that today is the official kickoff day for the 2019 holiday season. It starts now. This is the week of Thanksgiving or Thanksgiving or Blacksgiving, whatever you call it. This is the week where we're starting to think about what that means. And I think it's a good time to step back and ask an age-old question to my Black and my Brown and my White and my Native and my Asian American brothers and sisters. Should we continue to celebrate a holiday that's built on the backs of the suffering of Indigenous and marginalized people? What is it about these American holidays and how we get sucked into celebrating the lies upon which this country is built upon? So today, in the first hour, I think we should unpack Thanksgiving and let's talk about whether or not we need to be participating in the celebration of a day that's built on a lie. There's a wonderful book called Lies My History Teacher Told Me. We're going to break that down today. Additionally, in the second hour, we're going to talk about some safety concerns during this holiday season, understanding that home invasions are on a rise, carjackings are on the rise. Right now in Baltimore City, shootings are on the rise, and we're now moving into the holiday season. So what are you doing to be safe? Are you like this 82-year-old woman where the guy broke into her house and girlfriend was able to beat him down, saving herself and potentially him from further harm by her? Is that you? Or are you like me trying to figure out how I can get mace because trying to beat someone down does not fall under my purview? We want to talk about that in the second hour. And throughout these 2 hours, everybody always goes into this wonderful season talking about all the things they're thankful for. They're thankful for their family, and they're thankful for their pets, and they're thankful for, you know, just the idea that they can be thankful. You know what, folks? I've put together a list of things I'm not thankful for. I want to share that with you today. I think we can just break this thing down because there's some things that I'm not thankful for going into this Thanksgiving season. Now, with that in mind, Justina thought it would be a great idea to also do some Chaopoly. Let's bring the Chaopolis back. Folks, I'm going to see how I can say this as nicely as possible. We are drowning in 1619 books. We have got to get the 1619 books out of our office, into the mail, and into your hands. And so Justina has told me, she's instructed me, she's informed me that we will give away 1619 until we don't have any more left to give out. So we're giving them away today for our Chaopoly. So let's just get started, folks, because today is going to be one of those days. Talking about a heavy ride today. We're going to challenge some assumptions. We're going to ask you to think deeply about what it means to be a part of this country. And if you are someone who's part of a marginalized group, should you be participating in the holidays that are built on people's suffering? We can start with thinking about Independence Day. I'm making an argument that Black folks should not be celebrating Independence Day. It was not our Independence Day. It is a day that celebrates only the voices and the freedom and the experiences of a small subset of American culture, primarily white men with property. When you think about the Independence Day, there was no independence for us. It was a time of enslavement for us. It was a time when we started moving into a brutal period of American slavery. It was years later when they stopped bringing captured Africans into this country, setting up a system where Black folks were simply chattel, where we were being bred and beaten and starved and tortured to both build this country and to build the wealth of predominantly white institutions, families, structures, and corporations. So what are we celebrating Independence Day? We should be celebrating Juneteenth Day. Like, we need to really be clear about the holidays that we begin to celebrate wearing our red, white, and blue and not being clear about what it stands for. We need to get ready to start letting our actions speak louder than our words. Second, when we get to Christmas, I'm going to be talking about that too. You know, I know that people say it's the celebration of the birth of Christ, except the research shows he was not born at that time. So why Christmas in December? Is it actually tied to, with the research I found, to building the economic base of companies? What does it mean to say I'm celebrating the birth of Christ? I'm celebrating Christ and the work that he did to save us from our sins by spending $1,000+ and going in debt? Like, how does that message resonate with our children, that it's about giving, it's about sacrifice, it's also about going into debt to buy a whole bunch of gifts that people don't want, to set up for a day of them taking stuff back to get what they need, that it's an ongoing cycle. So maybe we should be questioning that as well. Well, those two things are down the road. Let's start with where we are. On Thursday, we have this day that is inarguably a racist holiday built on the suffering of Native people. Thanksgiving has a very complex history, as do most prominent things in the USA. But unlike other holidays, there's something about Thanksgiving and how we have to go into the day believing the lie. Because the only way you can get through Thanksgiving and not recognizing that it's a day of thanksgiving is to believe the lie that we've been told. And I'm not just saying you, I'm saying me too. I was also socialized within this country. I was also taught the lie. I also participated in countless Thanksgiving celebrations where half the class played the pilgrims and the other half of the class played Native Americans. And we were using the term Indians then. And we would sit around and have this big feast. And we would read the lines from the Native Americans saying they were so happy and they were so grateful. And if they just understand that the pilgrims were coming to save them, the lies that we were taught. In the year 1637, Massachusetts colony governor John Winthrop declared Thanksgiving, which is he was using that day to celebrate the safe return of the colonist volunteers that left for war against the Pequot Indians. This war resulted in the massacre of 700 Pequot Indians. So instead of retelling the real story of Thanksgiving, we have participated in this cover-up that has led us to believe and led us to teach our children that the pilgrims and the colonists got along with the, quote, Indians, Native Americans, and that they lived in perfect harmony. Folks, all of that leads to the lies around the Pequot War, around the Trail of Tears, around the ways in which Native people are treated and misrepresented and oppressed in the country today. So it requires us to kind of fold ourselves into the space. Like this image of pilgrims, white settlers, sitting around eating peacefully with Native people presents this kind of view of the founding of this country. We come together, we're giving thanks for what? What exactly are we giving thanks for? Now, I know you're going to push back and say it's about family. Okay. It's about friends. Okay. It's about stopping and having a time together. Well, it's cloaked in this big, broader notion of giving thanks for our country, which in so many ways obscures the history of violence and oppression, and it both legitimizes and whitewashes our country's horrible and disgusting history and treatment of indigenous people. I think as conscious people, as woke folks, as people of color, as allies, as advocates, that we should begin to uncover the lie and recognize that for a number of indigenous people, Thanksgiving, or Thanksgiving as I call it, is a day of mourning. It is not a day of celebration. It's not a day to eat turkey and mac and cheese and collard greens and yams and sit around with this false notion of what it means to deal with this country. It is a day of mourning. And now I am not saying we should not get together with family on Thursday. No, please, by all means. I've already bought my food for Thursday. I'm saying we don't have to believe the lie. We don't have to retell the lie. We don't have to stand in the lie. We don't have to support the lie. We don't have to uphold the lie. We actually can expose the truth and say there has been some wrongdoings in this country historically. And though we are recognizing what it means to deal with the conflicts around this country, the complexity of what it means to be a part of this country, we recognize it, we accept it, and we push to make a place where all voices, all stories, all histories, and all truths are accepted. So are you, when you sit down on Thursday, what exactly are you celebrating? Are you celebrating it with the truth in mind of what this day actually means? Like some people, I looked at some historians who said celebrating Thanksgiving and then noticed that so many indigenous people died at the hands of these colonists and settlers is akin to celebrating the medical doctors who participated in helping to oppress and abuse Jewish people during the Holocaust. So you're saying, well, let's just go ahead and celebrate this without being truthful and honest about the death and destruction and the abuse and the history of all of that that coalesce within this day that we lift up turkey without being clear about the history. Folks, we got to get beyond the lies. I have a clip I want to play where it's from CNN, and it talks about Thanksgiving as a day of mourning. It is a traditional day of mourning that was set up by indigenous people. Let's take a listen to this clip and then I'll open up the lines.
Most of American history depicts a hospitable first Thanksgiving. 1621, grateful pilgrims in the New World offer a warm invitation to Usamequin and members of his Wampanoag tribe. But the chairman of the Mashpee Wampanoags calls that depiction a myth.
You know, we sent 90 men over to the first settlers to see why they were shooting guns and practicing arms, to say, hey, what are you preparing for? And they were preparing for some kind of war to take our people down. And so we sat down with them to have a discussion and let a feast.
All my research.
Some elders say the so-called first Thanksgiving is not worth celebrating.
It's the one day out of the year when all of America bows their head and gives thanks for everything that was taken from us.
83-year-old Tall Oaks, Rhode Island home is an archive of Native American history. Amongst the books and pictures and relics is a copy of a 1970s speech written by his late friend Wamsutta. He'd been invited to a celebration of the arrival of the Mayflower.
When he had to give the speech, he put it all together, and when he presented it to them, they said that, we can't allow you to read that because 90% of the people would walk out.
We, the Wampanoag, Wamsutta wrote, welcomed you, the white man, with open arms, little knowing that it was the beginning of the end.
He said he wasn't going to change it, and so he withdrew from that.
And Wamsutta, Tall Oak, and other activists of the American Indian Movement created their own event for the following Thanksgiving Day.
We decided that we would declare it a national day of mourning for Native peoples.
And every fourth Thursday of November since, Native Americans have gathered at the Statue of Massasoit on Coles Hill in Plymouth to tell the truth that Wamsutta could not.
In 1789, President George Washington proclaimed a National Day of Thanksgiving, asking Americans to gather on the last Thursday of November to give thanks for the establishment of, quote, a form of government for their safety and happiness. 1789. Folks, I want to point out to you, for those that are following along, 1789, black folks were not free in this country. We were legally enslaved in this country. And so George Washington said, why don't we celebrate a government that's set up for our safety and our happiness? I'm going to make the argument that enslaved people probably had moments of happiness, but there's nothing happy in being enslaved. Now, some members of Congress objected and said, look, the president cannot designate a day of thanks. That belongs to individual state governors. Some people argue it's a religious matter, and the church should have a day of thanks. So even though George Washington made this declaration in 1789, it was actually considered to be illegal according to the First Amendment. You cannot dictate how people are going to celebrate. But here's what happens. See, if you tell a lie long enough, it becomes the truth. So even though George Washington did not have the right or the ability to do that, he did declare the day. And on top of that, presidents begin to follow that. George Washington proclaimed the second day of Thanksgiving in 1795, despite the fact that they told him he couldn't do it, despite the fact they said the First Amendment's in place, despite the fact they said you're making this day into a religious day built, in my opinion, on a lie, he did it anyway. John Adams, James Madison, other presidents continue to mark this day as a day to, quote, give thanks for a form of government for their safety and happiness. It was not until 1863 that President Abraham Lincoln established a regular tradition of observing days of national thanksgiving. Folks, we're following along here. 1863, the same year that Abraham Lincoln released his bogus Emancipation Proclamation, a document that did not free anyone. In the height of the Civil War, as black men at that point in 1863 were preparing to pick up the bayonet and go to war to fight for their freedom, including both of Frederick Douglass's sons, he is saying, let's set aside a day of Thanksgiving to, quote, give thanks for a form of government for their safety and happiness. While presidents were declaring these days, black folks were either A, enslaved, as in 1789 and 1795 and so on, or be fighting for our freedom, as in 1863. And over time, this lie that we've built around what Thanksgiving is one that we have in so many ways participated in, right? So you tell a lie long enough, and over time it becomes the truth. And that's what I'm talking about. I'm not going against your turkey or your mac and cheese. I'm saying, let's be honest about what the day is. So when you sit down with your family, hey, why don't you use it as an opportunity to make sure the young people at the table get a history lesson while they're gobbling up the food. And let's talk a little bit about the reality of what it means to deal with indigenous people and to celebrate their day of mourning. Like, let's talk about that. 410-319-8888. Thanks, Stealing. Where are you on the day? We have Ankh on the phone from Mount Vernon. Ankh, how are you? And welcome to the family.
How you doing, sister?
I'm doing well. Welcome back, actually, Ankh.
Yeah. We talk. What do we got?
You said, what do we eat?
I said, we talk. When do we eat? Doc, when is the last time you seen a Maryland Indian?
Now, I know that you're talking about this, except the group that has declared it as a national day of mourning, I just want to make a note that even though they're meeting outside of Maryland, according to this report from this particular tribe, they said that indigenous people, Native American people, were being represented from all the states at this meeting. So I have not seen an indigenous person from Maryland, not personally, other than myself, and I'm 10th Cherokee, but I have not seen it. I only did the research, and this group is based up north, further up north, but they did say they're represented by Native people from all of the states in this country.
We need to boycott all these pagan holidays that tell corporate America, the Americans, you know what. Have a good one, Doc.
I agree. Thank you so much. Hey, maybe we need to start boycotting these. People say maybe black folks, I'm just throwing it out, and Hispanic folks, and everyone else who's trying to be woke here, maybe we need to have our own day. Maybe we use Black Friday and we not get sucked into the lie that we have to go out and spend our money on Black Friday or spend our money on Cyber Monday. That instead of getting sucked into the second part of the lie, we say, you know what, we're going to use this time to set up our own moment of recognition of family and fellowship. We have Lil Cello on the phone from Baltimore, line 2. Lil Cello, is that the correct pronunciation of your name?
Yes, it is. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
You're definitely a queen in my book.
Thank you.
I'm going to tell you this. I give thanks that I didn't buy into the lie. I woke up in, I would have to say, 1987, and I'm a father of 4 girls, and I'm raising my girls on the truth, not on that lie that's being commercialized. My mom woke up and started teaching us the truth about it, so I was proud, and
nice.
Most of my family alumni from Morgan, so, you know.
I like that. So what do you do in your family, Lucello, when you say, hey, I'm not doing Thanksgiving? What, do you get feedback, or do you just kind of go along and you have the dinners and you don't focus on it?
Well, the only negative feedback I actually received was from an African-American back in 2009 regarding Christmas. She said that I was robbing my kids of the gift of seeing Santa Claus. And she said that I didn't understand the impact that a child had when they seen Santa Claus and how they lit up. So I told her she didn't understand the impact a child had when they seen their father. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to give no praise to no white man coming down my chimney in my house. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. I'm not going to give him no credit for one day out of the year when I'm busting my tail every day.
You know what I mean?
So she kind of got offended behind that, but she was surprised when there were several Caucasian individuals in the room that said that they didn't raise their kids on the lie either.
Yes.
So she was amazed that they wasn't for the white Santa Claus either. They was like me. My thing is, Thanksgiving is every day you're above ground.
Yeah, you give thanks.
So, and that's how I do it, sister. I'm going to go. I'm going to let other callers
come. I appreciate
come in,
you. Thank you so much.
Bless you, man. For real, you are a true queen.
Thank you so much. Folks, thank you so much, Lucello. Hey, you know what? I'm with that. And in this is probably going to be the part when people are going to get upset. I'm bracing myself for it, Justina, just to let you know. But when I talk about how we as black and brown folks should not be supporting the lie being told to our children that a white man's going to come down the chimney and leave gifts for them, rather than being honest about what it takes for us as parents and loved ones to spend our money to give them things that they ask for. There's something about rejecting the lie. When I come back, Gerard, Cy, Alexis, Sharon, JP, I'm going to talk to you, and there's always a line open for you. 410-319-8888. Welcome back to Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. KY's Whitehead. Lies my history teacher told me. That's what we're talking about today. And I'm going to extend that out. Lies my parents told me. Lies aunties told me. Lies uncles told me. You know what, folks? Don't get mad at me. I'm just the messenger. But should we be lying to our children? Should we actually have our children sitting down for Thanksgiving, you know, past the greens and past the mac and cheese, you know, and just giving thanks for a country that was set up for our safety and our happiness? Should we be lying to our children, telling them that Thanksgiving is about the pilgrims sitting down with the Native Americans and giving thanks for coming together, and not being clear about the fact that those incidences within the indigenous community are days of mourning, days of terror, days of horror, days that start at the beginning of the end of a certain lifestyle that they were living before the colonists, the settlers, got here? Should we be lying about Christmas? Hey, don't worry, baby. Do a list. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's going to show up for absolutely no reason at all. He's going to take your list, and for absolutely no reason at all, he's going to leave you gifts, because that's what happens. Hey, folks, let's not tell the lie. And maybe it's someone who supports the lie. I don't know. Give me a call. 410-319-8888. Difficult day. But today marks the beginning of the holiday season. So why not talk about it now? We have Gerard on the phone from West Baltimore. Gerard, how are you?
I'm doing all right, Dr. K.
Welcome to the show.
Can you hear me?
I can, sir.
Yeah, I'm a military guy. I was in the military back in the 70s. And what I want to say real quick, I ain't going to hold up.
Okay.
Thanksgiving is not no holiday for black people to do it, because you killed the Indians when he introduced to alcohol. And if you look at his history, that's how they did our Thanksgiving. They gave Indians alcohol. When Indians started running around and dancing, they fell out. So then, of course, that's how we can kill the Indians. And that's it. That's how they massacred. That's how Thanksgiving actually came about. That's thanks killing these Indians. Indians taught them how to cook food and everything. You know, that's what I want to say about it. That's true. I'm from the old school.
I appreciate you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Gerard. Hey, folks, I think about this. Now, I had to tell my son, because we were talking about what does it mean to be Native American, And I have to be very clear about my own history. I have said this on the show before. And folks, you need to know who you are and you need to know who you come from, right? So I know for a fact that my great-great-grandfather was a full-blooded Cherokee Indian and was killed because he was organizing Black folks and Native people to vote in Olar, South Carolina. And I heard this straight from my Nana's mouth and straight from my Baba Mama, which is my great-grandmother's mouth. I'm choosing to believe the stories about my family. How about that? I'm going to stand in that truth. So here I am as someone who's a quarter Cherokee. So when I talk about sitting down, is it a day of Thanksgiving or a day of Thanksstealing? And I'm sure enough not going to propagate the lie that a man shows up on the 25th of December while I'm sleeping, coming into my house, because my daddy sure enough told us, ain't nobody buying gifts in this house but us. We're working every day. These gifts are from us. So when you look to write your letters of thanks, you're not writing them to Santa, you're writing them to us. 410-319-8888. Si is calling me from Canada. Si, how are you?
I'm well. How you doing? Peace and blessings to the family.
Yes, welcome back, sir.
Okay. First of all, here in Canada, we celebrate Thanksgiving in October, and that's because of the referendum leaving the British colony and leaving France. But that's why that's celebrated. It has nothing to do with anything else. But in America, the celebration of Thanksgiving, to my knowledge, is a slap in the face. With all these Black people claiming that they have Indian in them, why would you celebrate a holiday that killed your people? Now, Christmas, that's a slap in the face to the Christian. Mm. I don't understand how you're a Christian and you celebrate Christmas. Then, if you really want to go into it, let's talk about 4th of July. You were enslaved when 4th of July was inducted. So how is it that any holiday is celebrated? Well, I celebrate my brother's birthday in January, but other than that, I don't really see a celebration. And with my children are the same. If you ask any of them, hey, what is your dad getting you for Christmas? Nothing. From day one, never did that. And I've always spoke the truth to them. Just real quick before I go, when I fixed up my daughter's bedroom, she was 7 years old, and I fixed up her bedroom, I gave her three posters. One was all the writers, Black women writers. The other one was all the Black women scientists.
I like that.
And in the middle of both of those posters, I had a poster of the movie Menace to Society. And someone asked me, why do you have that in the middle of the other two? Why are you even letting her know that? I said, because that's what I want her to recognize, what America sees her as.
Mm.
And then I want her to grow on that, not with it, but grow on it and expound her beauty, expound her knowledge. So that's where we go.
I like that. I appreciate that. Thank you so much, Si. Looking forward to getting you back in the States. We have Sharon on the phone from Maryland. Sharon, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you, Dr. K. Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine, thank you.
Oh, okay. Dr. K, I'm thankful for you because I think it's important that our people have someone who will support them in challenging these narratives and give them a space also to express their challenge of the narrative, because people catch hell when you start talking to your family about,
oh yes,
you know, well, that's not how it happened. But this is the other thing that occurred to me just recently and why I had so much trouble with this Harriet film, and it's the narrative that we know that slave catchers were precursors to what? The police.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
So
it came out of that idea of the police. It's definitely
absolutely
tied together. Yes.
So when you have the main slave catcher, somebody that looks like you, your analysis of what's going on in other situations is skewed.
I like that. I like that.
And that's powerful, and I don't think that was a mistake.
No, I don't think so either. I think the introduction of this character, the fact that you only had a small percentage of black men who were actually what they call the patty rollers, a small percentage, a small, and many of them were doing it not under their own free will. They were doing it because their lives were at stake. You either join with us or you die. So with that narrative, why is it that you would pick that particular small percentage to put on the screen rather than the large majority of them, which were white men without property looking to make extra money?
And the fact is, the fact that the connection still stands, that when people get arrested, we say they take them in the paddy wagon.
Yes. Yes, there's a definite connection.
Absolutely, it's a connection. So when we distort that connection, just as the Thanksgiving story and the others that you mentioned have been distorted, then we're not able to analyze what's going on and understanding of it.
No, I agree. I agree. Folks, thank you so much. I appreciate
you,
Sharon. Thank you, folks. See, here's the thing. And Sharon just really kind of brought it on home for us. If you look at the images that are being pumped into our head on a daily basis, I mean, I'll use the Harriet movie as an example. There's so many things that I did love about the Harriet movie. And I know the Harriet movie is very controversial, and it's fine. It should be. It should be. I don't have a problem with us debating about the Harriet movie, because we should be debating about anything that we spend our money on. Just because it's black don't make it right. We still have to debate it. I enjoyed so much about the Harriet movie. I loved her sense of agency. I loved the strength of her voice. I loved the way that she was just a powerful figure. I loved the way they informed us clearly that she was not a myth, not based in mythology. She was a black woman making daily choices around her own survival. Here's where I have a problem with it. When you then take the character, the bigger character, the small percentage of black men who were involuntarily involved in slave catching and being a paddy roller, and that's the image you put on the screen, it should be challenged. When the majority, the bulk majority of those paddy rollers were white men without property who were seeking to either curry favor or to make extra money. That's the image we should be seeing on the screen, because that one is more true to reality. Let's not take the blame off of white America. I think they have a lot of that. I think they have a lot of forgiveness, a lot of pardons. I mean, let's not just get into all the work being done right now by white researchers around white fragility, around white fear, around white tears, and around the fact that whiteness is killing us all. Not just black folks, all of us are dying under the weight of helping to support and maintain a system that's based on whiteness. And things like Thanksgiving, i.e. Thanksstealing, things like Christmas, things like Black Friday, are all ways in which we are supporting a capitalistic system that helps to maintain whiteness. And maintaining whiteness, folks, means you're maintaining white nationalism, you're maintaining white supremacy, you're maintaining white racism. And I am not saying don't eat your turkey. I am not saying don't eat your mac and cheese and your collard greens and your yams. I am not saying don't eat your sweet potato pie, though I am saying don't eat pumpkin pie, because I don't like pumpkin pie, but eat your sweet potato pie. Go and do all of that. But why don't we do it standing on truth and saying, you know, I recognize what this day is about. Let me use my time at the table with my family. Let me make sure my young people getting a little bit of history / herstory before they move on, so that next year when we have this time together, we all understand that we are contorting ourselves into this very disjointed view of what freedom means in this country. 410-319-8888. Hey, folks, Thanksgiving, where do you stand on it? 410-319-8888. Alexis from Northeast Baltimore, how are you?
I'm fine, and you, Dr. K?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Well, the first time I realized the Thanksgiving was a lie, when every time they had that Macy parade, Macy Thanksgiving parade, I see the first people always protesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then I know it was a lie. And our people need to read about the history a little more.
Yeah, we do.
And not get caught up in it. Christmas, what they call the other one in February, all that is just
all
for the retailers to get rich.
All of it. All of it should be challenged. I'm saying, if you look at it, here's the thing, Alexis. Do you realize, and I'm sure you do, but do you realize that every single, quote, holiday in this country is connected to us spending money? Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I know.
You spend tons of money on food, right? You know, Christmas, gifts.
Some people spend so much money they can't pay their rent in January.
Come on. Black Friday, Valentine's Day, all Easter bonnets, all of them, all these Independence Day, it is involved around us, A, spending money, and B, eating. Like, there's something about the eating and the money and the spending that for some reason keeps us inoculated against the actual
truth. It's too commercialized.
Yeah, it is too commercialized. But you know what, Alexis? How do we fight being part of the commercialized system? Because black folks go out on Black Friday as well. We go out there. We participate. We spend.
Well, I don't go out there. I stopped doing that a long time ago.
Because I don't even understand how Black Friday became a thing.
Yeah, I stopped doing that a long time ago. My kid is grown now. I don't have to do that.
Please. I'm not going out fighting nobody or no gifts to spend money I don't have for stuff
for
I don't
real.
Need. Come on now. And stuff I truly, if I were to question myself, I truly don't even want. But they've been trying to convince me through commercials that this is what I have to have.
Yeah, well, that's what the advertisement on TV.
Oh, yeah.
Some people get sucked into it.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Thank you so much, Alexis. Hey, folks, you know what? Alexis just touched on something I just want to throw out. She mentioned advertising. That is a $130 billion, and that's on the conservative side industry. Advertising, according to Revlon, you know, Revlon products, the owner of Revlon said that we don't sell lipstick, we sell hope. Because advertising is supposed to tell you or lead you to believe that they can tell you who you are. They tell you what's normal. They tell you who you want to be. And folks, the average person, and I'm going to venture and say you're part of the average person, I'm part of the average person, you know we're exposed to roughly 5,000 ads per day. Let me tell you how we get that number, right? You're thinking, well, Dr. K, where do I get the 5,000 from? Where'd you get that from? Advertising is part of all of the magazine covers. They come up on Facebook. They come up on YouTube. We see them on people's bags. People are walking forms of advertising. When you see Kanye West in the Confederate flag jacket, that is a walking form of advertising. Rihanna and Fenty, whatever Beyonce's wearing, whatever your favorite celebrities wear. If I'm wearing a shirt that says Abercrombie and Fitch, if I'm wearing a Morgan sweatshirt, that's all advertising. If I'm walking and I'm holding my Starbucks cup, I'm advertising Starbucks. If I walk along and I have on my Nike tennis shoes, I am advertising Nike. I am a walking billboard for the companies that I choose to support. So I can say I have a problem with Nike, but every time I wear a Nike jacket, I am a hanger for Nike. Every time I put on jeans by, I'm going to say Jordache, which is really dating me, jeans by Jordache, I am a hanger for Jordache. When we talk about who you are with your body and the body politic, folks, it does matter. When we went and we spent $25 million or so and Popeyes. And then, so you had your chicken sandwich, and then you put it on Facebook or Twitter. What you were at that moment is you were someone working to advertise Popeyes. Think about that. And they didn't even have to pay you. A successful advertising campaign, $100,000, $200,000, $300,000. What they found, if they just have you tweet it, if they just have you Facebook it, if they just have that you Instagram it, you are working on behalf of the company and you're doing it for free. You're not even an influencer, folks. You get nothing from it. You go get you fight to get your chicken sandwich and you put it up. Popeyes is saying, thank you for building us as a business. So advertising, the Charlie Brown specials, the lies my teacher told me, this is what has led us to believe that Thursday is the day when we have to give thanks. But what are you giving thanks for? I know, for your family, for your health, blah, blah. But the banner of Thanksgiving is about giving thanks that white settlers destroyed killed, lied to, abused, and oppressed Native people so you can have the land right now. So you can then go get your Popeyes and your Starbucks. Folks, it's all tied together. 410-319-8888. We have Oren on the phone from Baltimore. Oren, how are you?
I'm good, Dr. K. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for calling.
I was calling about this Christmas thing. I told my kids a few years ago that it wasn't no Santa Claus, and told them and explained to them that Christmas actually derives from Saturnalia, which was a pagan holiday. But peep this, Dr. K, if you Google Nimrod's birthday, it comes up December 25th. Mm-hmm. Now, who would have thought to make the birthday of the first Antichrist?
Yes.
And put Jesus on it. You can't put light and darkness together.
No, you cannot.
So it's more behind this holiday than what meets the eye.
And that's something, because it's interesting that you're saying this, Oren, because people don't want to question it. And the first official mention of December 25th as a holiday honoring the birth of Christ comes in the early Roman calendar from 336 A.D. But if you look at the significance of the day, it actually puts the date closer to around January 6th with the arrival of the Magi. So look at the ways in which we're told that these mark the days that we have to celebrate. You celebrate Thanksgiving and give thanks here. You celebrate the birth of Christ on this day. You celebrate Valentine's Day. And we all kind of fold into it without questioning the narrative, Oren.
Right.
Oh, I'm agreeing with you. Thank you so much, sir. And let me just say, folks, that we're not going down the path of being a conspiracy theorist. Let me just say, I know there are a lot of conspiracy theorists out there, people who believe that the earth is flat and that everything's about a present. I understand that, and I respect people who believe that. Well, the earth is flat theory is one it's hard for me to get behind. But I know there are a lot of people who are flat earth theorists, who are conspiracy theorists, who killed Kennedy, who killed King, blah, blah. I get it. What we're talking about now when we get into Thanksgiving and Christmas, we're not talking about conspiracy theorists. It's not a conspiracy theory that Native Americans died. Like, that's not a conspiracy theory. That's actually the history of our country that you can just go ahead and research, that some history teachers are beginning to teach. It's not a conspiracy theory that Christ was not born on December 25th. That's not a conspiracy theory. It's not a conspiracy theory that both of these days, Black Friday after Thanksgiving, the Christmas season, both of them kind of line right up with when businesses are looking to make the additional money to bump up their economic books going into the new year. These are not conspiracy theories. It's just the truth. And we need to be clear about the truth we're speaking and the truth we're believing and the truth that we're standing in. 410-319-8888. I have Rick on the phone from Baltimore. Rick is a new caller. Welcome to the family.
Hey, Dr. K. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I love your voice.
Thank you.
Hey, listen, before we go any further, there is a group that you should write this down
okay. And
look into them. All Tribes D.C.
All Tribes, D.C. Okay.
And the person you could email or learn about is Mary Faus, F-A-U-S.
Data.
First Nation Cherokee. And so when we talk about First Nations, we talk about settlers. You know, I'm one of those men that is blessed to be able to trace this history. And I'm very grateful. And even recently, I hadn't talked to my father maybe 8 times in 52 years. Haven't talked to him in 27 years. You know, Papa was a Rolling Stone and and all that. But anyway, I had nothing. I didn't even know my grandfather's name. Left on the street, all that kind of story. And then Christ found me, changed my life, all that stuff, wonderful stuff.
Right.
But the point is, I got a chance to find out even more about who my family was. And I did DNA tests, stuff like that. So I got an incredible assortment. And the thing I'm hearing is this: there's so much unresolved issues. There's just so many unresolved issues among the races, and I mean all tribes, that there needs to be an act of union. There needs to be healing. Because what I hear, even on your show, is pain, a little bit of pain, unresolved things.
Mm.
And it's hurt and it's pain. And I always, as a minister in the city of Baltimore, who's given 20 out of 26 years of my ministry life wholeheartedly to the city of Baltimore, 6 years as a missionary to Africa and other places. But I've given most of my life, even before as a Christian, to my city. I mean, my guts have given it. And I'm surrounded by multiple colored people who have given everything to Baltimore City, everything we can. And I'm still seeing this unresolved. And I go, what do you want?
Right.
When I look at the African-American community, and, you know, here's the thing. When I look at the black community, right, we want to say, what part of it is are we talking about? Are we talking about the urban, suburban, those who can trace their family that were slaves, those who weren't slaves, those who came free? I mean, like, we have this big picture, and we try to lump all these tribes and all these people into one thing, right? All the settlers killed Native American, First Nations people and stole their land. Not true. Like, there's so many settlers that came over, the Puritans and Puritans, two different groups. They bought the land. They paid for it.
Right.
That doesn't get represented because that doesn't fill the narrative of hate, or that doesn't fill the narrative that fuels my pain. And sometimes the squeaky wheel, right? The pain gets the microphone. The pain gets the statement. And so I'm calling BS on a lot of things. I know I'm a Christian minister and I said that, but I'm calling BS on so much of this stuff in the world because it's coming from unresolved issues. And it's boiled down to, what do you want? What do you need? Do you need someone to say, I'm sorry, we were wrong, we did that, how do we move forward? Because all the unforgiveness is keeping people in that bondage and keeping, I don't care if you're from Northern Ireland, like my family's from, or from the highlands of Scotland, where my family's from. Mm-hmm. We were ripped and removed from our lands, kicked out. The Irish need not apply. Why do we call it paddy wagon? Because it was designed to put patties in the wagon.
Right. Now, I have to stop you there, Rick. I appreciate you. Thank you so much. So, folks, and the question is that Rick has just laid on the table. What exactly do we want? It's interesting because the question that Rick is asking, the way it's framed, I don't know if he's talking about, you know, black people or Hispanic people or Native. What exactly do we want? It's the same question that was asked with the Kerner Commission under LBJ back in 1967, and it came out in 1968. It's the same question asked in 1998. It's the same question asked in 2018. I would argue that the eternal question for black people in this country, what exactly do we want? What do black people want? Well, I will tell you, going into this holiday season, I want people to teach the truth to their children. How about that? Now, we may not be able to have world peace, right? We may not be able to have a moment of silence throughout the country. We may not be able to end racism, oppression, white nationalism, and white supremacy before January 1st, 2020. But we can start by teaching the truth to our people. How about that? I mean, we can actually start by saying, you know what? I understand the complexity of Thanksgiving. I understand people died for this day. And I'm going to wrap myself around the pieces of the day that work for me. The family, the fellowship, the fun. I'm going to wrap myself around it while being honest about the ways in which this country has remained a powerhouse based upon lies and oppression. And then I'm going to take a moment to remember the lives lost. I'm going to take a moment to remember the fact that we're still at war in countries around this planet. I'm going to take a moment to reflect on that. And I'm not going to believe the lie that America first, America best, without understanding that America first, America best is also built on oppressing other people. And we can start there. I mean, I don't know if I want people to tell me I'm sorry. I don't know if forgiveness is what we're looking for rather than the truth. But we can talk about it. 410-319-8888. Darrell's on the phone from Owens Mills. How are you?
I'm very well, Dr. K. And yourself?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Dr. K, this is a very interesting conversation.
It is.
because I have a story to say. Oh, wow.
I'm listening.
Car accident.
Uh-oh.
Accident right out my window.
You okay?
But anyway, I'm parked, so I'm not involved, so
okay.
That's a good thing. But anyway, I put on the Santa suit during the holiday season, and I had a revelation that was just so stark that it needs to be shared.
Okay.
I went into the Baltimore Detention Center. Because the church that I attend does a program. They did a program for the children that they allowed into the facility for the holiday, and they wanted a Santa Claus. And I went in there with my Santa suit on, and I had on this fake beard, and And I was in there, and the children saw right through that. Mm. It's like, you're not real, you know? And they saw the beard, and the beard was goofy. And I felt a certain kind of way because they were like, well, you know, how are you going to get in my house? I got a pit bull.
Ooh.
He's not going to let you in my house. I don't have a, you know, I don't have a chimney. And where's your reindeer? And
they had a lot of questions.
All questions that it was like, wow, you know, that forced me to answer those questions for myself. And it's like, wow. And since that time, the opportunity has come to put the suit on again and again and again and again. But each time I do it, I get closer to a different narrative that I like to share with the children. I don't want to totally explode the myth of Santa Claus and what he represents, because it's so deeply ingrained that you can't just change the narrative and folks, you know, without consent from others.
Right,
because you got to be responsible with that kind of thing.
All right, I got to stop you there. I know we have a hard out, folks. This conversation is getting heated, so you got to keep it here. When we come back, Leon, Sandy, Janelle, Griot, and Abdul, we're going to continue Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving, Blacksgiving. Hey, folks, how about just standing on the truth? Why don't we do that when we come back right after the break?
And a good afternoon. Looking good on the Penn line of the MARC system. No delays on any train heading up from Washington to Baltimore. The light rail link also on schedule. The Metro subway link on time. Local link bus diversions include the blue line diverting eastbound at Guilford and Baltimore for construction, the orange line, the purple line, the 78 eastbound, along with the 67 southbound, 78 eastbound, and the red line northbound diverting at Baltimore and South Street for construction. For the MTA Transit Team, I'm Ken Berger on 88.9 FM WEAA, the voice of the community.